We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it.
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler. Butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining me. Thursday, April 13th, 2017. The playoffs are upon us, ladies and gentlemen. The Wizards, they've got a first-round date with the Atlanta Hawks. Home court advantage, 5 versus 4 seed. It's time. We've been chomping at the bit, you guys. I mean, throughout March, we're slogging along with the Wizards. You know, it seemed like they had a little bit of, a little bit of malaise, really hankering for the postseason, and it's finally arrived. So, first game, Sunday, 1 o'clock, and I'll pull up the rest of the schedule. We can, I think there's a couple other game times that have been announced. But until we get in the meat of the show, definitely check us out on iTunes, at Zardcast, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Overcast is how I prefer to listen. And then also on Dash Radio, download the Dash app. I don't think it's going to be this week, but next week we're going to be on there every Thursday, 2 o'clock, 2 to 3. So definitely check that out on the Almighty Baller radio channel. Very exciting. We're part of a pretty good crew there. Tons of new additions to the team. Check all of that out, all of our stuff out, almightyballer.com, and you can go to zardcast.com. Although it's a little bit out of date, I'll try and update it accordingly. So here's the deal, you guys. I'm on vacation. I'm in Antigua. Last night, I got the boys together via Skype. We tried really, really hard to do the whole thing remotely, which we don't normally do. We normally do it in person. I thought it would work. I even sprang a couple bucks for the premium Wi-Fi here to ensure the call connection and all that, and it didn't work. I was coming out looped on Dave and end, and because we're dummies, I didn't just tell them to go ahead and do the whole thing by themselves. We got about 15 minutes in and it didn't work out. So I'm going to wax poetic here for about 30 minutes, a bit of an abbreviated episode. We'll get into a little bit into the playoff matchup. We'll look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, who's playing who. I want to talk about the whole Phil Chenier debacle, as I will call it, because there's no other way to put what's gone down as far as his tenure being up goes. Yeah, maybe I'll mention a few vacation things too. So that's the plan for the moment. I'm sorry. I know I hyped up, a big end of season show, put a cherry on top of things and look ahead to the playoffs, but it just logistically it didn't work out. So you got me for 30 minutes. And then in terms of what we're going to do going forward for the show, we are going to start recording after all the postseason games. Either just me and Dave, me, Dave, and a guest, me and a guest, Gary, he might pop in here and there. Not entirely sure, but we'll be with you throughout the playoffs, except I do have to, unfortunately, we won't be around for game one. Again, that's Sunday at 1 o'clock and I'm still going to be on the island down here. So, I might get to watch a little bit. Our flight leaves at like 3:30, so there's no chance I'm gonna be able to watch the whole game, do a podcast. It's just not happening. So, you're gonna have to hold out till game two. I believe that's Tuesday night. So, following Tuesday's game, we'll hop in the pod. We might even do some Periscope action. So, if you want to experience it live, yeah, that's a thing that we'll be able to do. So, keep it here at Zardcast again on Twitter to stay abreast of all of our plans. Very excited about the postseason. We were doing the postseason pods the last time the Wizards were in the playoffs, and we got a ton of new listeners, lots of new people tuning in. It was awesome. So we're really, really excited about it. So we got round one against the Hawks. The Wizards, as you all know, they locked up home court advantage in the first round a couple weeks ago. Then, eventually the four seed was solidified. And then on the penultimate night of the NBA season, the Atlanta Hawks slid into the fifth seed for good. And I'm sure we've talked about it for a couple weeks now because we've just been waiting for the playoffs at this point. We were looking at possible matchups, the Hawks, Bucks, Pacers, Bulls, Heat. We were basically like, Hawks would be great. Bulls would be great. Pacers would be fine. Didn't want anything to do with the Bucks and didn't want much to do with Miami either. And they missed out on the playoffs completely. But so we got kind of the matchup that we wanted. Who knows if we'll actually want it when the whole thing's going down. But for the most part this season, the Wizards, they were able to handle the Hawks. So the first time they met was in the very first game of the season. And as you all very much know, that was a dark, dark time for Wizards fans. I mean, we had people thinking it was time to blow the whole thing up. There were trade John Wall, people saying that. I think Tony Kornheiser was on that bit for a while. That was a rough one. They got manhandled 114-199. I think we recorded right after that game, and it was a poor feeling. So I think it was 3-4 games later, the Wizards, they saw the Hawks again. And again, this was kind of in the dark downward part of the season, and they were able to pull that game off. The other two games, which I'll mention in just a second, notwithstanding, I got to think I was looking at these results, kind of rolling through the box scores, and the fact that the Wizards were able to beat the Hawks at that point in the season, that was their first win. I think they'd get another one against the Knicks a couple games later. If we're judging our confidence levels here in what might go down, I'd say that right there has to be, a very positive marker in terms of what we're looking at for the this postseason series. And then you kind of look down the road a little bit further. The Wizards didn't see the Hawks again until that was late January, and that was a beatdown game right there. Let me pull up the box score for this one. That was 112-86. And that was kind of, the Wizards, they were rolling throughout December. They were rolling into January, and they really stuck it to the Hawks in Phillips Arena, no less, on the road. And, they hadn't at that point, they kind of equalized things on the road eventually. But at that point, the road record was still kind of stanky. And, for them to do that emphatically, that was a good sign. And I think that was the kind of the point where Wizards fans were like, hey, this team is, we knew they were legit by that point, but in the NBA, I think these crushing, when you can really beat your opponent down, every time they played the Nets, the blowout wins really stand out in my mind. And I think that's important. This game in late January was a good litmus test for the Wiz, against a team that, they were competing against, in the Eastern Conference in terms of seeding eventually down the road. And when you can, let's pull the box score up here. They had, you saw Sheldon McClellan seeing the floor, Andrew Nicholson, Daniel Chefu, these guys got all Jason, Thomas Satoransky, Tomas, he played 18 minutes. Craziness. Kelly Oubre played almost 30 minutes. Trey Burke almost played 20 minutes. Like, that's a when you're letting those guys have an extended stay in a game, that's when it's a bad night for you, Atlanta Hawks. So that one really sticks out of my mind. So those two games, on different ends of the spectrum of the season, I think that's what, kind of excites me the most in terms of what we're looking at here. We go a little bit further down the road. Wiz played the Hawks again in the Verizon Center. They pulled that one out 104-100. Unfortunately, that game, there's a bunch of games this season. And unfortunately throughout John Wall's career where you have these, you know, suboptimal guards that kind of go wild. And unfortunately, it's not super exciting. You kind of just got to grin and bear it. But Tim Hardaway, you know, he dropped 29 points in that game. I can't really see that happening again. But, you know, on top of that, you had stellar performances from John Wall and Bradley Beal. I'm pretty sure they would close that game out. I think that was an early. When was this game played? Maybe not an early Jan Mahimny game, but. You know, so if this is one of the more closely contested ones, you know, when we were, you know, at, I mean, this late March game, this was in the midst of, you know, maybe not the most tumultuous point of the season, but the most malaise filled, you know, the defense had been lacking for a while. March, as we know, was filled with all these road games. So I think looking at these four Hawks games and how they, where they stood in, you know, the big picture of the season, I really feel strongly about the Wizards taking this first round. You know, I mean, it could take six games. That's okay. Just as long as they get to the second round, everybody. I don't think there's any reason to like freak out and lose your minds if they don't, you know, finish it out in five. If it takes six, even seven, I mean, whatever, they got to get it done. And honestly, beating the Hawks will be satisfying. I know this is a different Hawks team than the one the Wizards faced in the second round 2 years ago. But it would be, you know, kind of getting a little bit of those demons out, you know, shaking the, you know, opening up the old box, be like, you know, these are some shitty high school days pictures. Let's burn them up. You know what I'm saying? That came out kind of weird, but you guys get it. So anyway, I feel confident. I'm looking up and down. You know, I watch the Hawks in just probably these four games. I might have watched them a couple other times throughout the season. Of course, they got Dwight Howard, who has manhandled Marcin Gortat in the past. But those last two games that they played, you know, Gortat, he stepped up. He did the manhandling. I mean, that blowout game that they had, he scored 15 and 12. Let's see how he fared in this other game. I mean, I'm pretty confident he played well here. Let's pull it up. Maybe not so much. It is a little bit concerning. I must admit, I guess if there's any reason to be concerned, it is that Jan Mahimny is going to be out for at least the first three or four games of the playoffs with a strained calf. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, Gortat, his performance has been uninspiring post All-Star break, which is unfortunate because he has been the rock of this team for a while, you know, especially, you know, going into the All-Star break all of last year. I mean, with Bradley Beal being injured, you know, we often said he was the second best player on the team. People, I will never understand like the venom that he gets on Twitter. But you know what? I think he's going to step up in the playoffs, especially with Jan out. It is unfortunate because Jan has been a great defensive guy to bring in, you know, and when Gortat's not been playing well, it's great to have a quality backup center. You know, that can't be overstated enough. You know, he really has been a huge addition, so it is really going to hurt to not have him around. Jason Smith going to have his hands full. He's going to be playing that role, having a lot of playing time on his hands. He seems ready for it. He's been playing better than ever over these last couple weeks. You know, if there's anything to be, you know, if we're looking at, you know, kind of the minor ups and downs of the end of the regular season, he is certainly one of the biggest bright spots, him and Kelly Oubre for sure. But as far as the team as a whole goes, you know, the Hawks play good defense, but they're kind of a middling offensive team, which is good. You know, especially they're 23rd in the league in terms of 3-point percentage. When we think of things that the Wizards get killed on, it's when other teams are raining threes on them. I mean, I feel like that's been a problem forever through various coaches, but I'd say that's super encouraging for me. So yeah, they're kind of a middling scoring team. You know, they're a top half rebounding team. They play slow. They do play good defense, but I think, you know, and before, you know, Dave and Gary and I got all disrupted, Dave pointed out that while Budenholzer, he's, you know, Spurs East coach, and, you know, they play tough defensively, and, you know, they show you lots of different looks on offense. They don't really have the offensive playmakers to do a whole lot on offense. And I think this has a lot, you know, this is where this issue comes into play. So not super worried, you guys. Not super worried. So game two is on Wednesday at 7:00. And then you got Saturday at 5:30. That's in Atlanta. Game four is next Monday, the 24th, 8:00 in Atlanta. And then we'll see where things stand after that. Let us know how you're feeling. At Zardcast, if you're confident, I think there's a lot of confidence. I mean, this is the best season the Wizards have had in almost 40 years. It's crazy. It's unfortunate that they missed out on win 50, especially with the Heat not making the playoffs. I mean, that's you know, kind of unfortunate. They weren't able to cross that threshold. I think a lot of fans actually were kind of like, well, you know, they're probably going to lose in the second round, so why not just go for 50 wins and not rest anyone? But I think we all know, if we can be honest with ourselves, you guys, the starters needed the rest. I mean, I know 50 wins was important. Some people think it was just whatever, nominal number, no big deal. You know, when you don't, I mean, a lot of these teams in the West, they hit 50 wins all the time. It's no big deal. But when you haven't done it since 1978, 79, whatever, it is a big deal. So it does bum me out that they didn't hit it. But I think in the long run, you know, this is what they need to do. They need to rest their guys. They need to be ready for the playoffs. I mean, the East, a lot of people are floating these conspiracies out that the Cavs, they wanted to get the 2 seed to dodge the Wizards. I don't think that's true. I like that, you know, lots of people are talking about it. That's exciting for sure. It makes me laugh. I want someone to ask LeBron about it because he'd get really mad. He'd be like, I'm a man. I'm a father of three. You think I'm dodging the Wizards? We get it, LeBron. We know you're a man. But I don't think that's the case. LeBron's been a 1 seed like twice in like the 7 straight years that he's made it to the finals. So he's certainly not concerned about this. This was not some sort of master plan by them. I mean, I don't think so. I think that's kind of silly. So the Celts, they get the top spot in the East. They are going to play the Bulls, who are the sorriest team in all the playoffs. I don't even think they want to be there. I don't think their fans want to be there. I don't think their franchise, their ownership, their management, I don't think they want anything to do with being in the playoffs. They just seem kind of like a lethargic team, you know, the epitome of mediocre, 41-41. We'll see, though. I would like if the Bulls could rattle the Celtics' cage a little bit, you know, lock down on defense and kind of expose the Celtics for their lack of scoring options. See what Jimmy Butler can do on Isaiah Thomas for a couple games. That'll be interesting in terms of how things play out throughout the rest of the playoffs, because, you know, that's kind of their drawback. In the fourth quarter, Isaiah, he can't really play defense. You got to hide him somewhere. So, you know, you have an elite defender like Jimmy Butler covering him, or, you know, maybe not all the time, but at times, a much bigger guard than he is as well. That'll be interesting to see. Cavs are in the 2 spot. They're going to play the Pacers. I don't really think the Pacers will make it all that interesting. My first thought was, oh, you know what, Paul George, he might just throw the team on his back. He's going to score a bunch of points, but if there's anyone that can guard Paul George, it's going to be LeBron James. So I don't think they're going to have any issues there. I will be highly intrigued by this Toronto-Milwaukee series. As we've lamented many times, we wanted nothing to do with the Bucks in the first round. So Let's see if the Greek Freak and Chris Middleton, if they can, you know, do some damage to the Raptors, or at least take them to seven. They haven't been in the playoffs in a long time either, so I'm sure when they get to Milwaukee, the crowd is going to be hyped. Very excited for that first round matchup. You know, while we're at it, let's run down the West too. Warriors playing the Blazers. The Blazers are going to get smacked. The Warriors are playing. I don't remember who they were playing last night, but our buddy Connor Letourneau, I saw him tweeting throughout the game. He was basically like, in a meaningless game where they were basically resting everyone, they still just, you know, stepped on the throats of whatever team that they were playing in the first quarter. They went on like a 27-8 run or something and basically just shut the game down. So sorry, Blazers. That's going to be tough. Spurs Grizz in the first round, Spurs in the two slot, Grizz in the second. You got Rockets Thunder, your two kind of leaders in the clubhouse for MVP in James Harden and Russell Westbrook. That'll be exciting. And then you got Clippers Jazz. I've been high on the Jazz. I think they could beat the Clips. I think they can do it. So that'll be another fun one as well. Very excited for the playoffs to start. Much anticipated in my household for sure. So last thing here, I got to get this off my chest. Phil Chenier. We didn't talk about it last week. We recorded. They dropped the news the following day. Our beloved play-by-play analyst, best friend, Steve Buckhance, best friends forever. Their little Bucks post-game tribute to Phil after last night's game against Miami. I watched it online afterwards. Very touching. I can tell it was tough for both of them with Steve getting a little choked up there. But basically, Comcast Sportsnet, the Wizards, decided that after 33 years, Phil being the only guy, basically two generations worth of Wizards fans have known calling these games, they decided, you know what? We're done. You're not going to sit in the play-by-play chair anymore. Basically demoted him, if we're being real here. He's going to do studio stuff on Monumental Sports Network, which Washington City paper, I laughed so hard. I think it was like the biggest way to waste $90 in their best of DC. They have the readers poll, but then they have, you know, the staff poll where they have, you know, all these wacky categories. So I didn't even know this was a thing. I'll try and pull it up here, but I think it was like best way to waste $90, your yearly subscription to the Monumental Sports app, which I've thought about that a lot. They hawk that product a lot. But like, who's paying $90 to not watch the Caps or the Wizards on that application? I don't really know. If you want to watch like minor league hockey, sure, that's great. Great product for that. But I can't imagine there are many takers out there for it. So you're taking a guy who is, he's an institution. He's a legend in terms of the Wizards franchise goes, you know, in terms of a player and then as a broadcaster. And they just decided, you know what, we're going younger. What? You're going younger? Who asked for this? Obviously, the outrage was immediate. I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it. It's craziness. I've been watching Phil Chenier for my entire life. What's wrong? I don't get it. He's not an old man either. Like, this is an unpopular opinion. Especially, you know, Johnny Holiday, legendary broadcaster of the Maryland Terrapins. You know, at some point in the near future, I think they should go younger in terms of him calling football and basketball games. I know that's a very unpopular opinion in Maryland circles, but like, if that were to happen, like, I could make sense of that. And I think a lot of Maryland fans could. He's been around forever. You know, he is a legend. He's been acknowledged as such. But Phil gets no such ceremony. I mean, and the fact that they dumped it a week at the end of the season, like, is that a joke? Like, this guy deserves a season-long send-off. If you're really going to do it, This is a terrible way to go about it. Ted Leonsis, I mean, you got to know that he was involved in this decision. Total snake move, man. What are you doing? Literally nobody asked for this. Nobody wanted this. We want to go younger? What? And then fine. You're putting him on the payroll. You're keeping him on the payroll. Great. He's got tons of money, I'm sure. I won't speak to his finances and what he needs and what he doesn't, but to throw him in the studio, I bet Tony Massenburg would kill a homeless man if he could get in the play-by-play booth with Buckhantz. Like that's a huge job. There are only 30 of those jobs in the entire country. So how can you be like, oh yeah, you know, like we're still going to keep them around. This is great. On what, your garbage app that shows WNBA? Sorry, WNBA, but I just don't. It makes no sense. And you know, it really seems. I mean, this is classic out of touch executives. You know, making a dumb, hasty decision for just. I mean, they just. You know, what were they doing? Just hanging out at lunch, kicking around ideas, and like. You know what? Let's take one of the most rock solid parts of our broadcast and let's cut them out. It's unbelievable. It's truly crazy. I mean, how could they do him dirty like this? And he's way too nice, unfortunately, to actually say anything critical. I'm really excited for the day that he gets off the payroll of CSN and Monumental Sports, and he can really speak his mind. Maybe he won't even do that then because he's just too nice. I can see Buck talking about it at one point. That'll be fun. Can totally see that. Honestly, it's upsetting. I mean, who are they going to hire? Are they going to Antoine Jameson? No, he's fine. But I don't want to listen to him every night. I want Phil and Buck. They're best friends. How often does that happen too? Two guys that are just pals forever. It's distressing. These executives, man, furthermore, it shows that Ted Leonsis continues to be out of touch with Wizards fans. I mean, that's been apparent forever. That's kind of his deal. I mean, he's obviously more invested in the Caps, which is fine. You know, you can have favorites if you own multiple franchises. That's okay. But I mean, this literally shows that these people who are making these decisions, they don't know. Do they know anything about the people tuning in? I mean, this is crucial. You're talking about the two guys, no matter what, that are going to be with your fans day in and day out, explaining what's going on, you know, representing the organization, and they thought it was time for a change. Nobody asked for a change. There's no one sits. I mean, you know, I said on Twitter throughout all these games, you can see what the great unwashed thinks about, you know, everything, however dumb or off base it may seem. You know, I referenced, you know, the Twitter trolls always attacking Cortot a couple minutes ago. I mean, obviously that's dumb. That's unfounded. But no one sits on Twitter and complains about Phil Chenier. I've never heard anyone complain about Phil Chenier. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. And what do they think now? Like after this backlash, I mean, sure, it'll go away. They'll find a new person. You know, it's going to take some adjustment on the fans' part. You know, it's happening, whatever. But how can they honestly think that they made the right call here? And to really do it in a backhanded way, I mean, this guy... he's watched this garbage team for 33 years. This is their best season in that entire span. And now they decide, after, you know, being, you know, a top-notch ambassador for this team, you know, they're going to throw him out after this? It's crazy. It's absolute bonkers. So, I joked on Twitter last week that, you know, they dropped this news because they didn't want to be flamethrowered on the pod. If they would have dropped it right before that we had recorded, I'm sure Dave and I would be all kinds of fired up, screaming and yelling. I'm on my vacation, so whatever. We'll get more into this when Dave and Gary are back on. Dave definitely has a lot of hot takes on it. I'm very excited to hear from him, or have you all hear from him. I've heard it all. But yeah, so I think this is about time where we should part ways, ladies and gents. I'm about to go fishing, so that's exciting. I'm also like horribly sunburned day one. I slept on the fact that, you know, as you get closer to the equator, the sun is more intense. Didn't consider that. Brought some 30 spray SPF down here. Almost used an entire bottle day one and still look like a lobster. So I'm recovering. Don't cry for me, everyone. Like I said, I'm going to be here till Sunday. So unfortunately, we won't be able to do a podcast after game one. But we'll be there for game two. We'll run down all the action. Maybe we'll touch a little bit on game one. We'll see how things are breaking in the series. So again, subscribe on iTunes. That is the fastest way to get the episode unless you're like scouring almightyballer.com. But if you subscribe, especially with these post game shows, like we're going to be doing them and then I'm just going to throw them up there. Just because, you know, we're cranking out a lot of them. I'm not going to sit around and, you know, edit them piece by piece as I normally would. So definitely subscribe, and it'll show up almost immediately as soon as I post it. And then you'll be in the know. So the next morning during your commute, you live the game. You have us break it all down with you while you're on the metro, work, walk, whatever it may be. As I said before, we might do a scope action too. So we might be have some live stuff. We might do the whole thing. If you're, I know I wasn't doing the podcast. I would be watching coverage and read all night. So maybe you can just add this to your media diet. So much appreciate everyone. Thanks everyone for listening. Thank you. A new listener. We know we're going to add a new listener. So if you like what you hear, tell a friend. It's always appreciated. For my non-existent co-host, tried really hard us all to link up. Gary, pre-work is work as always. E.T. Schwenk, that was Zardcast.